Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the day on my favorite day of the week. You guys, we've made it. It is Friday or Fri-yay, as my kids and my team like to say. It is Friday, and I hope whatever you're doing this weekend, whether you're working, you're having some family time, maybe you're having a little getaway, maybe you just have nothing planned at all and you couldn't be more excited about that. Whatever you have planned, I pray that God will bless it. And I'm so grateful that you're here today. Your time is your most valuable commodity. And the fact that you're here spending a Friday afternoon with us just means the world. It's so encouraging to me to know there are families who are looking for hope. And we are here to deliver that. On Fridays, I have asked Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I concentrate on the habit of the week, 52 Habits for Healthy Families. We have been doing this journey since January, and I cannot believe we are in week 13, but here we are sailing along into week 13 in 2025. If you've missed out on any of this, you can go to any podcast platform. You can go to AFR's app. You can go to AFR.net on the internet and look for the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes, and you'll see a 1-minute recap of each habit. That's completely free to you. And you can also listen to any Friday show, and I go into greater detail and answer questions that I've gotten. As we've started out in January, we started with some basic spiritual disciplines, and those are important. Prayer, memorizing scripture, going to church, playing worship music, being intentionally grateful, having a daily devotional. And then we moved from those into rhythms that need to be adopted into your life, just everyday rhythms that give your home a sense of peace in a world that is full of chaos. We talked about the importance of having a morning routine, a bedtime routine, of having good sleep hygiene, and how much sleep impacts our health. We've talked about the importance of family dinner and having a weekly check-in. All of those things are important no matter what age and stage your family is in. Last week, we shifted into some communication skills. Last week, I gave a message to you all about listening with your face. That is one of the biggest gifts we can give our families today, is listening with our face. We're so distracted and our faces are so many other places. If you missed that, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that Friday show, because I had a lot to say about that. And today's not going to be any different. I usually like to leave a little space to talk about current events and other health threats, but these things, these messages that I feel God has given me have just been so convicting to me. I want to take the whole show to talk about today's habit and answer some questions that families have for me. So last week, communication skill number one, listening, emphasis on listen, not speaking, not leading with lecturing, listening. But today we're talking about those words that we do speak, and I'm talking about the habit of giving words of affirmation, especially to your loved ones. Our verse that we're meditating on, that I'm memorizing, is Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the body. You can see why I picked it, because there is such an intersection of spiritual health, emotional health, and mental health. And I know that as a nurse practitioner, and it's so amazing to me when we start to look at the science that is there. But let's go to the scriptures first, because that is the most important thing as we talk about the transformative power of words of affirmation in family relationships. As I get into this, let me encourage you with this. So often, especially as Christians, we really are so hard on ourselves and all of the bad things that we need to stop doing. But this is a good thing you can start doing. It's so much easier to move our intention in that direction, to do something good rather than to stop doing something destructive, although that's important too. Let me give you some reminders from scripture about what God says about our words. God says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. God's word says in Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. We know that our words can bring healing and encouragement, or they can cause deep wounds that weren't even there before. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Put on your tough suit before I give this to you, because this is a tough truth. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus reminds us of the weight our words carry, both in this life and eternally. James 3, 5 through 6 says, "So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness." Our words have the power to build up or destroy. We've all watched wildfires most recently in the news in California, before that in Maui and North Carolina, all over the country. And we see the destructive power, and it all left us in shock when you look at the destruction that's behind that. That is the kind of destruction we can cause with our words. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Speaking grace-filled, thoughtful words can encourage and uplift others. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." That's the verse I'm memorizing this week. And it's important to know that words of kindness and affirmation, they bring emotional and even physical well-being. So let's talk a little bit about the holistic health benefits of words of affirmation. This isn't just something you should do, but it's something that literally affects the health of your family. They impact mental and emotional health. If you speak words of affirmation, it reduces levels, physical levels of stress and anxiety in both children and adults. It increases your self-esteem. It increases your resilience. It strengthens emotional security and attachment in relationships. Physically, we know that research shows positive affirmations reduce cortisol levels, and by doing that, it actually improves the physical health of our working heart. And families who regularly affirm each other, they have lower levels of depression and overall better life satisfaction. When we look at relational and spiritual benefits, we know that words of affirmation build trust between us and our relationship. They deepen our emotional connection, and they preserve our family unity. It encourages a culture of gratitude and respect and love, and it reflects the biblical principles we all want to reflect, speaking life into each other. Research from Harvard suggests that children who grow up in houses that use affirming language, that they say positive things, they give compliments, they're 30% more likely to develop strong emotional intelligence and leadership skills. They feel more confident to lead. Now, if you want to, let's take just a little deep dive here into some neuroscience, because I know some of you love that. Words actually shape our brain function. That's amazing. We know research shows that words literally rewire the way our brains work. When we hear or when we say positive affirmations, the brain strengthens those neural pathways that are associated with confidence and resilience and motivation. One researcher found that positive words stimulate the prefrontal cortex. Now, the interesting part about this to me is that this is the part of our brain that's responsible for decision making. So when we hear words of affirmation, and our kids do, they're better able to make wise decisions, to have good problem solving, and to emotionally regulate. Another research study found that people who engaged in daily positive affirmations, they had increased activity in their brain's reward system. So even saying affirming messages to yourself can be helpful. It also impacts the negative words. When you look at brain imaging, they trigger a part of our brain called the amygdala. Now, the amygdala is actually the brain's fear center. So when we hear negative words, our immediate emotional response is fear. And that's followed by cortisol, which makes stress, and that has anxiety and depression. Now, in contrast, when we have positive affirmations, that makes our cortisol go down, and it gives us a burst of dopamine and serotonin. Those are feel-good hormones that improves our mood. That's really, really powerful. And it also, it triggers, positive words can trigger the part of our brain that tells us about our self-worth and what to think about ourselves. Now, of course, this is all given in our identity in Christ, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. Words also influence, like I said, our heart health and our physical well-being. We have people who are optimistic. They have a 35% lower risk of heart disease and lower blood pressure. It reduces our inflammatory markers and actually gives us a stronger immune system and helps us not to get sick as much. A study from Johns Hopkins found that people who regularly practice gratitude have lower rates of heart disease and they have much better quality sleep. Here's an encouragement for parents out there. Affirmations in parenting strengthen emotional security in children. Research from the American Academy of Pediatrics says kids who grow up in environments where their parents give them words of affirmation, they're better in school. And it activates the reward system in their brain, which tells them who they are in your family. And when they get consistent verbal affirmations, they have lower levels of anxiety. A leading marriage and relationship researcher found that couples who use at least 5 positive comments for every 1 negative comment, that 5-to-1 ratio is critical for relationship health. So many times we can say something negative, but it's so much harder to say 5 positive things that are there. So the key takeaways there is that words of affirmation rewire your brain. They rewire it for positivity and resilience. It reduces our stress. It improves our emotional well-being, lowers the risk of heart disease and immune function, and it gives our kids and our families more emotional security. And when I was looking for true stories of the power of words of affirmation, I was reminded of the story of Dr. Benjamin Carson. Now, he is a world-renowned pediatric neurosurgeon, and he's such a powerful example of how words can shape a person's future. And he's shared this story, and as he tells it, as a child, he struggled in school. He was often called dumb by his classmates, and he really began to believe that. He took those words of label on as his identity, and he felt like a failure. And his self-esteem was terrible. He started to think he would never amount to anything. But his mother, Sonia Carson, she refused to accept that. She only had a 3rd grade education, but she constantly spoke life into her son. She told him things like, "You are smart. You can do anything you put your mind to." And she made him read 2 books a week and write reports, even though she couldn't even read the reports that he wrote. And at first, Ben resisted, which is so important for us to remember as parents, because many times when we try something positive, we may get some resistance, some negative feedback, and so we give up so easily. We've got to have more grit than that as parents. And over time, something changed. Those words of affirmation from his mother, they took root, and he started to believe, you know what, maybe I can be smart. And he started to see his grades improve, and eventually he became a top student. And years later, he became the first surgeon to successfully separate conjoined twins attached to the head. This was a feat that was once considered impossible. But the beautiful thing about this is that he credits his success to his mother's unwavering belief in him, and most importantly, the words that she spoke over his life. Those words we speak to others, especially children, can either limit them or launch them towards greatness. And I think we all want to do that. When we were young, we think back to when we were kids, we all know those kinds of words. The words or phrases that were handed down to us in the generational playbook for parenting. Oftentimes, they were unhelpful, triggering, just plain untrue, really. You think of, what were you thinking? Or, if everyone jumped off a bridge, would you? Or how about, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Boys don't cry. If you swallow gum, it will stay in your stomach for 7 years. By the way, that is not true. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. All of these things, and I know that many parents weren't intentionally hurting their kids. They're simply modeling what they've learned with the best of intentions. But it's important for us to be intentional in our thinking and unlearn and relearn better ways of saying words. So a couple of years ago, I put this on my social media and asked for people to share their experiences. And boy, did you have some things to say. When we come back, I'll share some of those phrases that children share have stuck with them and what we can do to change that. Don't go away, I'll be right back. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry by rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day. They are putting a serious dent into abortion, but there are still thousands of babies who die daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Best day, your worst day, some Tuesday or your birthday. Every day's a good day. Now let me tell you why. If you got air in your lungs, you got blood in your body, you are a child of God. Come on and sing it, somebody.
On my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child.
Welcome back, friends. That is I'm So Blessed by Kane. That is a Friday feel-good song, let me tell you. That is definitely in my top 10. And for those of you regular listeners who are saying, I think we've counted about 42 songs that are in your top 10 by now, you are right. I am busted. I don't care. I love music. It's such a great way to boost your emotions. And we are so blessed. No matter where you are blessed. And one place I hope you are, this summer, you think about coming to Tupelo, Mississippi, June 12th through the 14th for the Activate Summit 2025. There's a program for adults. There's an Activate Kids program for 6 to 12. There is child programming for children 5 and under. And they're talking about a biblical bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture. And if you come, you'll get a clear understanding of what does it mean to contend as believers while living in a hostile culture, or knowing why you can trust the Bible and having a renewed desire and love for God's word. Tupelo, Mississippi is a charming, charming little town. Love that place. Can tell you all the good places to eat. You can go to afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit, and think about maybe coming this summer. Well, it is Friday. It is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, and we are talking about this week's healthy habit. We're on week 13. We're in the middle of communication skills, and I'm talking about words of affirmation. The power of our words is the most dangerous weapon and the most powerful protective force that we have in our families. Let me say that again. I want to make sure you got that. The power of our words is the most dangerous weapon and the most powerful protective force that we have if we use it well. So I invited people on my social media. I invited you to tell me what your parents said that you don't say with your kids now, how we learn from that. And these were some of the answers that you all gave me on social media. Because this is in the words of people who gave it to me like this, because I'm your mom, as in whatever the behavior is, it is acceptable because I'm your mother. Honestly, I've also heard you're smart, you'll figure it out. And that's when I reached out for help. It wasn't helpful or healthy. My mom always went to, one day when I die, you're going to be all you have. That was her guilt trip to make my siblings and I to get along and not fight. It didn't really work. Another one said, for crying out loud, somebody's mom said that, you're too big for your britches, or I tell you what. See, I hear the Southerner in that. Now, that wasn't in the typing there, but I can hear it in my own voice. How about this one? I brought you into this world, I can sure enough take you out. Quit crying, or I'll give you a reason to cry about. Yours is not to reason why, yours is just to do or die. How about, I thought you were smarter than that. Children are to be seen, not heard. When I say jump, you say how high. Who do you think you are? Was what I heard from an angry parent towering over me and scolding this question with a finger pointed in my face. It always initiated what I now know was my freeze response. In my mind, I always answered, nobody, because that was the message I received. Now I know for the most part, I was just exploring my curiosity as a kid, and I did not, in fact, know better. Another person said what I also understand is that my parents didn't know better either. And these kinds of things, they really, really stick with us. And I wrote about this in a devotional in my book, Behind Closed Doors, about the power of our wisdom, the power of our words, because our human wisdom says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. That's another thing that I would hear. My parents would say that to me if something hurtful was said. And I know it was meant from a good place, but it's so very untrue. And if we really fix that to make it true, we would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will wound my heart and soul forever. Words hurt deeply. And I want you to think for a moment about the meanest thing someone ever said to you. Maybe it was your parent or someone in school or your spouse or maybe even your child. It doesn't matter how many years have passed, you can go back easily and play those words on the movie in your mind with immediate emotion. And when you recognize that emotion, I want you to hear your body's cue telling you to recircuit your response. It's like feeling pain when you touch a hot stove. Your brain tells you, move your hand. We need to move our brains to a healthier response. And we can do that through God's word. God's word is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It discerns thoughts and intents of the heart. I want you to think about this. God spoke the world into existence. He did not use a potion, a magic wand, or a cauldron. He simply said, let there be light. And there was. In just the third verse of the Bible, we are introduced to the power of God's word. In Genesis 37, we read the story of Joseph and how words changed the course of history. Listen to the words Joseph's brothers used as he approached. Here comes that dreamer. Come on, let's kill him and let's throw him into one of those cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. The Bible gives four chilling words after this. It says, and they hated him. They sold him into slavery, and many years later, their brothers came to Egypt desperate for food, and Joseph forgave them. Now, it wasn't easy, and he was emotional, and we talked on the show yesterday with Amy Reno. If you missed that show, by the way, yesterday, because words can cause so much family brokenness, take a listen to it. We talked about healing family relationships and how even Joseph put boundaries in the relationship with his brothers before he fully reconciled with them. But in Genesis 43, we're told that Joseph, when he heard these words and his brothers came back, he looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and he wept there. Despite Joseph's provision and grace, it still wasn't a happy ending. Now, when Joseph's father died 20 years later, were his brothers happy to see him back for the funeral? No, they had more choice words. What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and he pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? Now, Joseph had every right to do so, but he relied on a power greater than himself. And he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Those tormentors were still tormented while Joseph found peace and success. So go back to that earlier memory, thinking of something that someone said to you. And when that person spoke those words in your life, they planted a seed. But you could consider a paradigm change. When you feel that emotional pool that wants you to trample it and re-wound yourself, just say to yourself, "But God meant it for good." What can you see for good? Because God uses all things for our good. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We know that from the book of Romans. But the truth is that we live in a broken world, and negative words literally damage our brain. They activate the amygdala, the fear center. They have negative effects on our mental health. Children and teens who are constantly exposed to harsh, critical, belittling words, they're more likely to have higher rates of anxiety and depression, and a negative self-talk pattern, that negative inner voice that persists into adulthood. And this is what happens when we're basing our identity on what people say about us rather than what God says about us. And I want you to think about the concept of imago Dei. That's a theological term that's used to convey the incredible truth. We are created in the image and likeness of God. That word image means mirror or reflection. And many times when we look in the mirror, we don't see imago Dei. Instead of seeing the fingerprints of God through his unique creation, we see imperfections. And that mirror talk, a lot of times what we learned in childhood says things like this. And we say things to ourselves that we wouldn't say to other people. We say things like, "How could you be so stupid? You are ugly and fat and no one wants you. Your hair looks hideous. You're so old. You're out of shape. You're slow. No one wants to be with you." But God says you are called, you are chosen, you're a new creation, you are forgiven, you are blessed, you are set free, you are redeemed, you are beloved, you are being transformed, you are the apple of my eye, you are pursued, you're a child of God, you are adopted, no longer an orphan, you are pleasing, you are never alone, you are a masterpiece. Our identity in Christ is so much more powerful than our own image crafting. And this is one of the reasons why we've got to know God's word so that we can know and speak those truths over our own lives and over the lives of our family. Instead of using that shaming language, "Why do you always? Why can you never? Why do you always have to? You never. You're not giving me anything. There's not an ounce of this." We need to speak truths and see our loved ones as God sees them. People who are trying their best, but who are flawed and who fail and who fall. And we need to look at the intent of their heart. And the truth is in our culture that social media has really drastically changed the way that people use words. It has amplified their power and their potential for harm. In just an instant, words can reach thousands or even millions, and words about you that are said about you can go viral. They shape opinions. They influence emotions. You can really not like someone that you've never even met just because of the words you've read or heard about them. And encouraging messages and affirmations, they can spread hope, inspire change, but they do not spread nearly as quickly as those negative messages. That's why we're seeing an epidemic of cyberbullying without any accountability. And words that used to would have been spoken once in private are now broadcast publicly. The other thing too with words is that words have become digital. Our kids have more digital communication than they have verbal communication. Those words that they see activate their brain in a different way than words they just hear. And when we see it, those words do not fade away. They're screenshotted, they're shared, they're sometimes used against them, and a single comment can either make someone's day or completely crush their spirit. And we need to model kindness in this world and think about what we say before we post and think, would I say this to someone's face? And in that digital age, that is today, where negativity spreads so quickly, we need to choose to speak encouragement, both online and at home, because the power of words, especially in a relationship, are destructive. There is a researcher who has categorized something he calls the four horsemen of verbal destruction. Let me tell you about these four elements. It's the quickest way to destroy a relationship. The first one is criticism, attacking a person's character rather than addressing an issue. So instead of saying, hey, it's a real issue for me that the dishes are in the sink every night, I'm scared about bugs coming in, it's driving me crazy, can you help me with this? Instead of saying, you never help around the house, you're so lazy, why can't you ever do the dishes? I always do everything. That's criticism. Number two is contempt. Now, this is using sarcasm, mockery, or belittling language. This comes with eye rolling, shoulder shrugging, sighing, and really dismissive comments like, yeah, you always mess this up. Just contempt, criticism and contempt. The third is defensiveness, responding with blame rather than listening. Well, maybe I wouldn't yell if you weren't so annoying. Well, maybe I wouldn't be so angry if I didn't have to pick up the weight around here all the time. Criticism, contempt, defensiveness. The fourth one is stonewalling, shutting down, ignoring, or refusing to communicate. And here's a really scary statistic. This research found that couples who engage in this negative communication patterns, who have the four horsemen of verbal destruction, they're 90% more likely to divorce. Just let that sit for a minute and think about the power of our words. We're not even talking about the other issues that come in. We're just talking about criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. This impacts kids who are around. A kid who hears, you'll never amount to anything, they internalize that as the truth. Even if they can't say those words, I've internalized that as the truth, they believe it. Verbal abuse in childhood is associated with a higher likelihood of developing negative self-talk and self-sabotaging behaviors. It kills creativity and confidence. And verbal abuse actually has an equal or even more negative impact on long-term mental health than physical abuse. It is more destructive in that way than even physical abuse. And again, I'll give you, the Bible warns us repeatedly about the destructive potential of the words. Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. James 3:6, the tongue is a fire, a world of evil. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. So I don't want to leave you with despair and destruction. We can overcome it. There are ways that we can overcome destructive words. And if you're feeling convicted right now, as I am, think about these things. Be intentional with your speech. If you wouldn't say it to a stranger, don't say it to your loved ones. If you wouldn't want anyone to overhear what you're saying to your loved one, don't say it. Apologize and repair damage. Yesterday on the show with Amy Reno, we went through a 5-step apology process. If harsh words were spoken, acknowledge them and work to rebuild trust. Replace that negative self-talk. Speak affirmations of scripture over yourself and your family to counteract those wounds. And create a culture of grace. Recognize that everyone makes mistakes and commit to uplifting communication. Now, everyone does make mistakes, and I made a mistake. Amy was on Wednesday, so if you're looking for that show, go to Wednesday. Yesterday, we had Nick V Ministries talking about the monthly awareness for the disabled. But listen to that show Wednesday, Healing Family Relationships. I'll give you more tools when we come back.
Here's Dr. Michael Kruger from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
From the very start, it seems that these books had a level of authority. And a good example of this is Paul's own letters. When Paul wrote, he wrote with the authority of an apostle. An authority of an apostle is one who speaks for Jesus. And so he spoke in his writings with the highest possible authority you could speak with. He was speaking, in one sense, the words of God to people, and people received it as such. They were to obey Paul's letters. They were to follow Paul's letters as the words of Christ. They were to read Paul's letters publicly. So the idea that These books started off just as occasional letters or historical documents, and that only slowly, gradually over time did they gain authority as scripture. I don't think is borne out by the historical evidence. The evidence indicates that the authors knew they were writing scripture, and the early church received the scripture from a very early time.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Made for More by Josh Baldwin. Can you see why I love music so much? Listening to those words of affirmation being spoken over you, that you're called by name. If you grew up in a household that you did not get words of affirmation, it's so powerful to play songs like that that remind you that you were made for more and that God loves you, that He has called you, that you are His own, you are His beloved, His redeemed. We're talking about the power of words. And if you are thinking, okay, Jessica, I am convicted, I have messed up on this, maybe it's today, maybe it's for a long time past, let me walk you through some steps that you can do to make it right. It's never too late to make it right. First of all, you've got to recognize and acknowledge the harm that your negative words caused. Healing begins with awareness. Most people don't even realize how deeply words have shaped their self-image or the way they interact with each other. So when people tell you their words hurt them, you can't dismiss it and say, no, I didn't mean that, or that's, you know me better than that. You have to acknowledge that it hurt them. Reflect on the past words that have hurt you or that you've spoken to others and acknowledge that impact and say, I realize I've spoken harshly before. I really want to change that. And if you've spoken critically to your children, apologize and tell them, my words don't define your worth. I realize I've been quick to criticize, and I just want you to know I see all the good in you. You are deeply valued and loved. After you do that, replace those negative words with positive affirmations. And it matters because actually the brain holds on to negative words longer than positive ones. They're easier to remember. Research shows, again, it takes 5 positive statements to counteract that 1 negative statement. So if you've spoken hurtful words, replace that with affirmations. So instead of saying, you never listen, say, I love when we connect and understand each other. I really love it when I feel heard. Thank you so much for that. Leave sticky notes or send text with encouraging messages to your family members. And some of the things you can say, maybe to your spouse, you just say, I appreciate everything you do for our family. You're a blessing. I saw a reel the other day where this family had a security camera on and the wife was sitting at the table working on a little project and the husband was just sitting on the couch watching TV. And all of a sudden, the wife got up like she had an intention, a purpose, like there was something almost wrong, you thought. And she walked over to her husband and she took his face in her hands and said, I love you. I see you. You are working so hard to provide for us. And I know that you're so discouraged about what's going on, but I just want you to know I am so grateful for this life that you have given me. Thank you so much. The husband starts bawling. I start bawling because I'm the one that cries at all the military reunion ones. You can't not cry at those, but it's a testament to the power of words. For a child, say, I'm so proud of the person you are becoming. Tell them you love not just who they used to be, but who they are becoming. And for yourself, say, I'm loved, I'm forgiven, I'm accepted. Remember in Proverbs 15:4, the soothing tongue is a tree of life. After you've replaced those, then you start to rewire negative self-talk. And this matters because if you've internalized those harsh words, they shape your thoughts and behaviors. But the good news is the brain is changeable. It's neuroplastic. So challenge that self-talk with truth. If your child says, I'm not good at anything, say, you have so many strengths. I've seen you be kind. I've seen you be creative. I've seen you be determined. If you're saying to yourself, oh, I'm so stupid, say, I'm not stupid. I'm struggling with this, but I know other things. Encourage family members to speak kindly about themselves. So instead of, I always mess things up, say, hey, I'm learning and growing every day. I won't give up. Nobody cares about me. No, I am deeply loved and valued. And then apologize wherever you need to, whenever you mess up, because when you're starting in this path again, apologize and seek restoration. Apologize for the ways that you've used that always shaming language. You always do this. You never do this. That I can't tell you how discouraging that is to hear because you internalize it as your identity. It's no longer just something I'm struggling with. I'm taking that message as, this is what you believe about me. This is how you see me. This is what you believe about my character and what I'm capable of. It's really defeating. But a sincere apology can undo years of pain and restore relationships. So apologize without any excuses. Again, five-step apology, we covered it on Wednesday. We'll cover it next week too. Instead of, I'm sorry, but you made me so mad. There shouldn't be any buts and apologies. I regret my words. I see how they hurt you. I am sorry. How can I make it right? And to a spouse, you might say, I was too harsh earlier. I value you. I didn't mean to hurt you. To a child, I lost my temper. I'm sorry. You're so important to me. I'm going to try to do better. Can you pray for me? Can you ask God to help me? Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And then by doing these four things that I've just walked through and looking at recognizing and acknowledging the harm you've caused, speaking life, replacing those negative words, rewiring that negative self-talk in yourself and your family, apologizing and seeking restoration, that's how you create a culture of encouragement in your house. Words create the emotional climate of a family. Words adjust the temperature. They make it cold. They make it hot. They can make it just right. A home filled with encouraging words builds confidence, resilience, and deeper relationships. So how can you do that? Maybe you have a family tradition of affirming each other. Maybe that's going around the table at dinner or having a bulletin board where you post compliments to each other, a gratitude jar, a text check-in. You can just say simple things like, you make such a difference in this family. One of my favorites to tell my kids is, you're so easy to love. You are easy to love. It is a joy to love you. It is a joy to be your mom. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just pick any encouraging scripture and speak it over your children. It matters that you set boundaries over harmful language, correcting those harmful words in the moment. There should be certain words that are not allowed to be spoken at all and that need to be fixed right away. And before you say something, think, is this true? And even if it is true, is it kind? Is it necessary? Thinking back to Ephesians, do not let any unwholesome talk coming out of your mouths, but only what is helpful and building up others according to their needs. You don't want to exploit the weaknesses of your family members. If you know your family member has a quick temper, you don't want to exploit that. You want to say things that are building up to them. So instead of saying, that's so stupid, don't say that. How about let's be respectful with our words? Instead of, you're the worst, say, I'm frustrated with the situation, but I still love you. Remember Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. And it matters because words carry spiritual power. We can bless others through our spoken prayers. It can bring healing and peace and strength. We can speak blessings over our family. Every morning or night, we can pray for wisdom. We can encourage our children to pray over their own words. You can pray. This is straight from scripture. Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Lord, let the words of our mouths be pleasing to you. May you walk in confidence, knowing you are deeply loved. May your words bring life and encouragement to others. These are all important things to do. And here's some practical strategies. Let me speak to families in different ages and stages, because even with infants and toddlers, our words are important and how we say them. Using soothing tones, using that baby talk we all kind of make fun of, it actually is shown in research to be very, very developmentally positive for kids, very pleasing for infants, using that soothing tone and simple phrases like, you are loved, you are safe. Those are powerful. For school-age kids, where they are developmentally is all about industry versus inferiority, is all about, you look at Erikson stage as they progress through and how they, essentially what they're saying is they're trying so hard and yet they fail. And then they have to pick themselves back up. They're learning resilience. So validate their efforts. Say, I'm so proud of how hard you worked on that. Instead of looking at the end result, look at their effort and think of what each child is capable of and praise them at the point of their effort. For teens, it's so important for our words of affirmation to be specific. So you can say, hey, you were great today. I really appreciate it. Or you can say, hey, I saw your kindness and how you helped your sister with her homework today. That is a tough thing to do, and it can take a lot of patience. And I saw the sacrifice of time and the patience that you showed. That is going to resonate and stick in the brain a lot better than, hey, thanks for your help today. Be very specific. For our spouses, express appreciation daily. Say, I see how hard you work for our family. I don't take it for granted. I know you're really busy right now. I know you're doing the best that you can. I just want you to know I see everything that you're doing. That's so important. I know often as moms, as dads, you can feel really unappreciated. As husband, as wife, you can feel unappreciated. Those words of appreciation will go a really long way. And celebrate small victories. Say, hey, you handled that difficult situation with such wisdom. That is helpful. And for adult children or our aging parents, give them words of affirmation. Say, hey, your wisdom has shaped my life in so many ways. I just want you to know that. Just pick up the phone. Wait till the show is over. Pick up the phone and call and tell your parent that if you have a parent who loved you, who poured into you, who gave you words of affirmation, who gave you a nurturing environment as a child, I challenge you. It is not Mother's Day. It is not Father's Day. That is a gift that is rare, that is precious. Call them and just tell them thank you. Call them and tell them it mattered. And strengthen bonds with your grown children. Tell them, hey, I love the person you've become. I love who you used to be, but it's even better to see who you're becoming. I'm always here for you. Again, I can't say it enough. Those words shape our identity, our emotions, our relationships. The tongue has the power of life and death. Here's some words of affirmation I'm just going to give you as examples that you could take as your own and say them for your spouses and partners. I appreciate all you do for our family. I'm so grateful for your love and support. You're a blessing in my life. I admire your strength. I admire your kindness. I believe in you. For our kids, say, I love who God made you to be. I'm so proud of you. Your kindness is inspiring. I love watching you grow and learn. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. For parents or grandparents, your wisdom and love guide our family. We appreciate all the sacrifices that you made. You are deeply valued. You left a legacy of love that's shaping future generations. I hope you feel as cherished as you make me feel. Those are really powerful things to do. And children learn from what they hear. We can help them practice affirmations by challenging them and holding them accountable. What is something kind that you can say about yourself today? How can we use our words today to encourage a friend? And then ask them when you pick them up from school, when you pick them up from church, from their sports practice, say, hey, did you take my challenge to say something encouraging to someone else? Listen, for me, as a nurse practitioner who's worked for almost 30 years in pediatric primary care, I cannot tell you how many times I've encountered someone who has been at the point of desperation, to the point of wanting to end their life. And they will tell me their story and they will say, I was really at that point, but Someone called. Someone said something. Someone gave me words that were hope to go on. That is so important. For our kids, ask them, when they say a negative message, I'm so stupid, I'm such a failure, I can't do this, say, you tell me one thing God says about you. What does God say about you? Speak those spiritual affirmations over your family. Speak those words of life. Speak those words of hope. That is so powerful. And so I'm challenging you to speak one intentional affirmation to somebody in your family today and to yourself. I am challenging you to do that. This is such an important communication tool. It's not just about stopping saying negative things. It's about intentionally saying the positive things. And if we can do that, then we teach our kids and our family the difference between shame and guilt. When we say something, when we make a mistake, we do something that we feel guilty about that's wrong, that just says what we did was wrong or what we said was wrong. Shame tells us who we are is wrong, and we can love our family members and recognize their strengths, their beauties, and recognize that they maybe they're just going through a tough season. Well, listen, I want to speak words of affirmation and blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance towards you, give you peace, and give you words of affirmation to speak over yourself. I'll see you next week. We've got a great week lined up for you. Can't wait to get started on Monday. In the meantime, have a great Friday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.